That was not Arsenal, though, that I saw yesterday.
It doesn't have to be the end of the world for this one game where we won.
You asked me yesterday if I'm accepting mediocrity.
You are.
My answer to that, I'm striving for mediocrity.
5 minutes into the game, this guy was already all over the pitch. From what we know Florian Wirtz as, that wasn't a Florian Wirtz performance.
And do you not think he should be held to that standard?
Absolutely. I think you should.
Okay. We here!
Yes, sir!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Six Yard Box Podcast. This is episode 117, where the Premier League and football around Europe is well and truly back, ladies
and
gentlemen.
We are so back.
We're here, some might say.
We are here, some might say. For this special episode, I am here joined by Arsenal fan Blake and European champion Antoine, repping the City kit, which I'm not sure how I feel.
So rage bait, bro.
It's not rage bait. Repping the team that played the best this weekend.
Your team won yesterday.
They did.
Were you not impressed enough with the performance to rep your own club?
Just a preseason game in my eyes, as I said before.
There is no way, if you look at the PSG lineup, there is no way the Liga is ever beating the Washed or the Farmers Allegations ever again.
Never.
Hey, we won.
Fair.
For like 2 minutes, do you want to talk about the Super Cup?
If you want.
Then maybe later in the pod?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, because it's significant, I feel like.
Yeah,
the style of the game, what happened, how Spursy it was, some could say. Spursy.
It was Brentfordy. It was Thomas Frankie. That's what it was.
Brentfordy?
Yeah, it was It was dominance in set pieces. It was long throws. It was the Brentford way of winning under Thomas Frank.
I was impressed with their game against Burnley. We'll get to it when we get to it. But I think there's only one place to start, lads, and it was to open the season, a 6YB derby between Man United and Arsenal, where the Gunners came to Old Trafford, pulled off a 1-0 win. Blake, initial impressions on the game.
Set piece again. Ole, ole.
That's crazy.
Okay. Was it the best performance? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But to start off the season away from home at Old Trafford, which I said we've struggled at. I guess we haven't recently, but it's always felt like a really hard place to go to, even when you guys have been struggling. Obviously, last year we only got the draw there. To get a 1-0 win, get a clean sheet, was great. The attack played horrible. Like, there was no one standing out in the front line. The midfield wasn't much better besides Odegaard, and even he misplaced a lot of passes. A lot to improve on, a lot to look forward to. But ultimately, a 1-0 win, 3 points, and we move.
Yep.
There's not much else for me to say besides the defense was great. And David Raya, but I'll get to that after.
Yeah, let's talk about the game in itself, and then we'll talk about what we think of Arsenal's upcoming games and then United's upcoming games. But let's talk about the game in itself. I think there's a big debate going on right now about result and bad performance versus just a good performance with no result to show. And while I do think it's being taken a little bit too far, there is a lot to say that nobody expected the 15th place team from last season to show you guys up like that. And there is something in there that... That if I was an Arsenal fan, I would be worried at that performance. And I don't think that's anything crazy to say.
Yeah, for me, mistakes happen, right? Bad games, they happen.
Rustiness. But, new signings.
But that was not Arsenal, though, that I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
The fact that Manchester United dominated Arsenal on the ball as well, which is one of Arsenal's strongest points from last season and from the previous seasons as well.
Yeah.
Arsenal usually dominate their games. They dominate their opponents. The fact that United did that yesterday, I mean... Maybe it's an anomaly, but that can't happen. I'm sorry.
My thing is 3 years enough sample size? By sample size, I mean sample size that Arsenal will be good and will not play like this every game. 3 years is enough of a sample size for me to be like, sure, despite there being turnover, despite them having a bad first game, dude, they're going to be fine. They're going to go to Leeds. Sorry, they're going to have host Leeds, and they're going to smash them. Like, I'm confident. Am I confident against Liverpool the week after? That's a different story. If the Leeds is another scrappy win and it's not as free-flowing as we would have liked, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But United played great, and there is a lot to say about that. And
we should not take away from United's performance whatsoever.
And you should. No. And I know I was memeing you and all this stuff, but, like, they look good.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to get excited either, because just like how we shouldn't take too much from Arsenal's bad performance, I don't want to take too much from a good United performance on opening day. Performance matters. Don't get me wrong. We won our opening game last year, although I wasn't happy with the performance. And those worries in that performance came to fruition in big ways. And that led us to coming 15th, second year manager, having the worst season of all time in United recent history, whatever it may be. But I've also seen us have really, really good performances on opening day and ended up having a shit season. Remember when we beat Leeds 6-1 on opening day? Yep. That was...
The four Pogba assists.
Yep, four Pogba assists. Bruno hat-trick in that game. Mason Greenwood goal. I think Dan James ended up getting one. All these last year, but within 2 months, he was gone too. I've seen us have really terrible performance, like the year before that on opening day, lose pretty embarrassingly. It's Glazers out protests. It's, oh my God, my club. What is my club come to? And then we ended up looking fine. Mm-hmm. I think Ten Hag's first year, we lost to Brighton on opening day. The week after that, we lost 4-0 at Brentford.
Yeah,
we ended up having one of our best seasons in recent years.
That was fun.
So
was a legendary Mark Goldbridge crash out.
Legendary. It was also like the week I met you guys. So
yeah, we can clown him too much.
Oh, you know? Yeah, we didn't. Oh, if only I knew.
If that happens today, though,
oh, it's over. Be there. Yeah.
So all that to say that beginning of season form does not equate to end of season results.
No.
However, with Arsenal, I would be more inclined to worry because while United in those moments were on the rebuild, it was more about like, can we achieve like fifth place, fourth place, third place, a little bit more room for mistakes. You guys are competing with the Cities, the Liverpools that might just end this season on like 90 plus points. You have no room for mistakes. You're very fortunate you came out with a result there, I have to say. And if you played like that against like a good Newcastle side or a Villa side or a well-oiled Forest team from last year or City or Liverpool, maybe even Chelsea, some might say, then you're not getting a result there. That's not like a knock on you. That's not anything. That's just
the fact. You can also look at it from the lens that the mentality is to overcome those hard games is there for Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest example I want to point out is Real Madrid's 2024 Champions League winning campaign.
Mm.
They, throughout that entire campaign, I was not convinced with their gameplay, with how they played, and they ended up winning the whole damn thing. So it's about grinding out those tough games.
Yeah.
Obviously, the difference in level between Real Madrid in 2024 and Arsenal now, there's a little difference there, right? The player quality and everything. But the fact that they were able to get through those games while playing poorly, it shows a lot about their strength and their ability to overcome those hard moments.
Yeah. The thing is with that Madrid team, and what I don't see in Arsenal's team, is that that Madrid team had so much technical quality that produced so many moments of brilliance that pulled them out of those holes.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking of yesterday, like what's missing from this Arsenal team, and a lot of it is technical ability, trickery on the ball in tight spaces, creativity and chance creation. And outside of Bukayo Saka, who's elite at all of that, let's not get our words twisted. And then Odegaard sometimes, I see a lot to be desired there. For a title winning standard.
Respectfully, I just disagree wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Because Declan Rice proved that last season that he has the game break ability. I was going to come on this pod and talk about this. Is that now I think we do have that game break ability. The players and the moments that can get you out of those situations, like the Real Madrid of 2024 in the Champions League. I think Saka obviously has it. I think Gyökeres does have it as well. It's been one game.
Gyökeres needs to be fed.
Yeah, and he will. Like, why are we taking this sample size, this one game sample size, when they played awful and Man United played so well as the end all be all? You just said that early season form doesn't equate to end season success. So by your same logic, it doesn't have to be the end of the world for this one game where we won. There's so much negativity from other fan bases, but we won.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
There's negativity from your own fan base too, and that's just being open and honest. Yeah. There hasn't been much football being played this season, and I think the most recent games is what should be taken most seriously when assessing what Arsenal's next couple of months are going to look like, to be fair. And nobody expected yesterday's performance from you guys. I walked in watching the game with you thinking like, this is going to be terrible. Why did I agree to do this? Why am I watching this game with Blake? It's going to be like 3-0. United have played like crap in preseason. Arsenal look like a well-oiled machine. They're going to freaking win the league this year. It's going to be absolute, utter dominance. We're going to have 30% possession. And it was the complete opposite of what I expected in the performance. And you didn't have game break ability yesterday. You had a set piece, which Bayinder completely messed up.
Which is also something.
And if we had a different goalkeeper there, yeah, you're pretty good at it. Don't get me wrong. That could break games for you guys sometimes. Like last year, that's gotten you a couple extra points. But we're talking about like the game breakability that like City have or Liverpool have through the elite attacking talent that they have and the depth of that talent is just a little bit ahead of where you guys are. I feel like. And bringing in a left winger would change that.
And I agree. I agree. And
we were talking about this. This was the debate last year. I remember bringing it up against Real Madrid in the first half of the first leg before Declan Rice scores those two free kicks. Yeah. I remember texting the group chat. I was like, Arsenal have a lack of ballers in that team. There's a lack of ballers of people that you can rely on in those tough moments to flip a game for you. At the end of the day, I was proven wrong with Declan Rice, who scored those two brilliant free kicks, and you guys clowned me for it, but that's fine. But I kind of still see it this year. My point still stands is that without Saka, if you take Saka out of this team right now, if he gets injured,
yeah.
God forbid, who goes in that team? Who is the guy in that team to flip a game for you when you need it to?
Well, that's exactly what happened last year.
Well, Declan Rice is not an attacker.
We just signed an attacker for $75 million who didn't score in this game, and you're immediately writing him off.
But we're talking about who can grab the game by the scruff of their neck.
That's exactly who I'm giving
you. And create a moment.
I think he can do that. He needs one chance. You're talking about someone who can, create his own chance, maybe not his strength.
That's what I'm talking
about. If Odegaard is on the level, if Odegaard continues this form and continues a really solid game into Manchester United, why are you laughing?
Because
you're saying it's one game? Exactly. And by your same logic.
And it wasn't anything crazy. United
but
dominated
was,
the midfield
he was
battle.
Decent.
He was okay compared to last year, but
he was Julian, he wasn't was good. His best. You can disagree, but my opinion, which is what I'm saying right now, he was good.
Bruno had a better game. But go on.
Sure. But Odegaard, I disagree.
I didn't like Bruno's game either.
I like Bruno's game a lot. We won
Odegaard.
The midfield battle.
I preferred Odegaard.
Gyökeres needs one chance. You want to talk about someone who can change a game. One chance. And you know what else he does? Which I talked about this on the stream. Imagine Gyökeres pulls his runner away because Havertz doesn't really make those runs. He doesn't have that like striker clinical mindset. He's not always making runs in behind to try and get a goal. So if he drags space away from whoever, that leaves more room on the wings. There's just so many different options with Gyökeres if he has the service, if he's in form. And it's been one game.
That's exactly our point, though. If he has the service.
Yeah, and he will. What? Oh my gosh, it's one game and they played bad.
But
you think Zubimendi, Rice, Odegaard isn't a midfield that can give service to their strikers?
It's a great
we
midfield.
Thought he would get service yesterday.
And he didn't. And you probably thought you would have scored more goals, but David Raya was better than your attackers.
But we could talk about Gyökeres if you guys want to. I thought he was going to be deployed in a different way than he was. I thought he was going to be way less involved in the on-the-ball play for Arsenal.
Yeah, he was way too involved in build-up.
Admittedly, he's not that type of striker.
Yeah.
He's going to have to
again,
I don't think you got it on frame.
No, it's okay. You can focus on the memes and then look at the scoreboard. That's all I'm gonna say. That's what's like embarrassing about your club, bro, right now. Is you're so satisfied to meme Arsenal and be like okay with the loss and like
we're
have
just calling it how it is, brother. We're
no,
just
no,
calling
but
it how it
your
is.
Strikers didn't score either. You want to take it at face value. None of your players
let's
scored
talk,
either.
Let's talk about our attackers.
Because you're so happy with the smile on your face and we won. I'm the happy one.
Yes.
You're living in your little fantasy land.
Blake,
oh my God, they played well. They tied it up. They played well. Did they get an extra 3 points on the standings?
You asked me yesterday if I'm accepting mediocrity.
You are.
My answer to that, I'm striving for mediocrity.
That's embarrassing.
Because last year, United was anything but mediocre.
And that's not an excuse.
So yesterday, I walk into the game expecting dominance from the team that looked like one of the best teams in Europe last year.
And we won.
And what happened?
And we won.
Is that?
And we won.
You won.
And we won.
Off a mistake off our goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But the run of play, which cannot be ignored, was the complete and utter opposite that everybody expected. And obviously, the memes are the memes. Every rival team is gonna hate on Arsenal if you don't have a 10 out of 10 performance, just like they would for United, City, Liverpool, anybody. You see the exact same thing happening with like Florian Wirtz in Liverpool right now, criticizing that performance in places where I don't think deserves as much criticism as they're getting. But take United out of it. If this was a 15th place team from last season, if this was like a Forest or a Bournemouth or a Crystal Palace that you opened your campaign against and you got the 1-0 win, sure, but you got outplayed in large portions of the game, you would come on this podcast way more objectively and say, I'm happy with the result, but we need to improve.
And I'm not denying that. But you're taking it as, you know, nuclear level situations, it almost feels like. Like you're worried about them. I'm not worried about this team. We need to play better, 1,000%. But I would not use the word worried at all. I'm not worried at all for this team going forward. Not in the slightest. I think a left winger helps us even more. But I think everyone's going to take a step up. I told you, they know the severity and they know how important this year is. Not just for like their squad, but for Mikel Arteta, for the board, for so many different factors. This year means so much more than just the on-field performances. It can have, you want to talk about nuclear? It could have nuclear implementations for the rest of this Arsenal rebuild, per se. Rest of this Arsenal squad in the near future. What? So they know how much this season means to them. They're going to perform. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I'm saying they're going to be better than what they were. And I'm not worried that they're going to go host Leeds and stink up the gap. They'll be fine.
Still think they'll win the league?
I mean, they started off like they mean to go on. Result-wise.
Okay.
Result-wise.
Respectfully, if you have 1-0, 37 more, 1-0s like that, fuck, I mean, it won't be fun to watch, but they'll win the league.
Like, I just think you can't have that type of performance against a city.
Absolutely. You know absolutely. I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just for audio listeners that didn't see the video, when mentioning Gyökeres, Julian put up Timberlands on the desk because of that.
Not
some would say woeful performance.
I actually can't afford Timberlands, but
boots.
Yeah.
I thought
shoes you can't take a touch with.
Honestly,
Lukaku, you could say.
I thought he played okay. But it was bad, but he played whatever.
Before that little troll, I was saying he's gonna have to make his presence felt in the box way more than he did yesterday, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because his technical quality clearly lacks in the buildup. So he's going to have just to be that guy in the box that terrorizes backlines. Terrorizes defenders. Not by his skills and by his technical ability, but strictly by his profile, his stature, and his build.
I thought he did okay holding up the ball. Not great by any means, but not terrible.
There was a few moments there. I think all in all, De Ligt handled him very well, but there was a few moments where he kind of rattled De Ligt just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
There was
like
moments
one or
there.
Two moments
yeah.
there.
Physically, like he had that moment where he pushed De Ligt off the ball. Physically, Gyökeres, there's no question that he's elite at that. You know, if he could pair that with good ball movement and you're playing Gyökeres in the right way, I'll maintain. I think he could do well in the Premier League.
Yep.
But if you're just swapping him and Havertz one-to-one and you're expecting him to kind of do the same duties as a Havertz would, dropping into midfield, collecting, distributing to the wings, then that's just not going to work out well. And you're wasting talent.
And we're going to figure it out.
To figure it out? That's my question. Yes, because if you want Gyökeres to be that presence in the box, that's not Arsenal. That's not the Arsenal way of playing. We saw what Havertz was doing in the previous years. I know Arsenal fans were complaining that they didn't have a number nine, all this. Of course, right? But if you have Gyökeres doing what Kai Havertz is doing, it's not going to be the same output. And then if you want Gyökeres to be present in the box and be that focal point up top, it kind of takes away from the entire offensive animation that Arsenal has. It takes away from the Arsenal style of playing with that guy that comes in deep and collects balls into the midfield. So it's going to take time to adjust that position. I don't even think it's an adjustment. It's a different animation that you have to that you have to focus on.
Yeah, and it's been one game. You guys always yell at me when I get overreactionary after we lose one game, we draw a game, and the other teams pick up points. So in the same vein, but I'm going to overreact, and you guys yell at me for saying that it's crazy, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Hey,
chill.
Blake, what's your line? What's your line? Make football reactionary again.
Yeah. Ooh. But
we're just listening.
What's my
we're
other
just
line?
Following your lead. Other?
No. What's my other line? I'm going to get my licks back.
Oh, is it?
So when you guys you do to me, today. I will do unto you.
Okay, gotcha.
So same mindset right here.
Do you feel like you're getting your lick back right now?
Yeah, because we won and you guys lost.
Let's talk about
respectfully.
Let's talk about a couple of Brazilians on the field. Specifically Martinelli. Just real quick.
You know, I think it just shows.
Less said the better about Martinelli.
Yeah, he's bad.
You need
a
left
replacement.
Winger.
Yeah.
You need
Like
now, Eze's going to Spurs.
But that's been
so. Apparent. Who is that left?
No, you need a replacement.
Yes,
you need.
What again? Why are you accenting that? I've been saying this entire window.
No, because
no.
Some people were fine with the idea of Martinelli.
There's three of us here.
Martinelli, Trossard, and Madueke being the left winger option.
There's three of us
but
here.
I think and we. I also heard somebody not you, saying that I promise you Madueke is not a left winger for us.
Again, there's three people here. Have I said any of those things?
No, not you specifically.
Not you specifically. Saying, we're talking about a lot of Arsenal fans.
I'm just saying. I've wanted a left winger, aka Rodrigo, this entire fucking window.
But this is what's bothering me, right?
Right.
Because okay. When he was
reiterate your point once again. That's gonna piss me off. Go ahead.
No. I'm not saying this to piss you off.
No.
I'm saying like when we're hearing rumors that City are in for Rodrigo. The price being quoted is 80 to 90 million. If you didn't spend that money on Madueke, what's another 40 million that you could take that plus 50 on Rodrigo?
I think they,
and then you have one
I
of the
saw
best
report
left-wingers
they
in the world.
Have PSR room, but the FFP might be a little bit iffy.
The European FFP.
Yeah. So okay. If they have the ability to work around that, it should be fine. Like, look, I know we suck at spending. I mean, we suck at selling, and that's apparent. But I'm just going to go with face value. I don't think we're going to get Rodrigo, realistically. But I think there's a more than 0% chance we do.
If you don't go for Rodrigo, who is there?
I don't know. And then we go about the season and try our best. Like, I don't know.
From title contenders to trying our best.
No, but like, what do you mean? From we've been title contenders.
No, I know, but
like, we still are.
I just think
guys.
If you keep the season going with either Martinelli, Madueke, or Trossard on the left, there's no chance of you guys winning.
I disagree.
There's not a chance.
There's
a chance. Obviously, there's a chance
like,
for everything.
Again,
but there's
it's just,
small.
It's just
very
so
small.
Weird. I think because everyone got better, but like, again, Veers had a mid performance. He was not that great. He was fine, and they won the game, but he was not like this. Guy who I said needs to be a 9 out of 10 every time he steps on the pitch. And he wasn't. And he's going to be. I think he's going to be fantastic. It's been one game.
What a worse performance. Gyökeres or Verts?
I mean, probably Gyökeres. But again, who cares? It's been one game. They need to do better than what they're showing. But respectfully, and Mbeumo, you probably want to do better too. Like, it's going to get to a point where
Mbeumo was fine.
I thought he was very good.
Let me finish. It's going to get to a point where Mbeumo, Cunha, Sesko are going to, you know, do a lot of things right, but they're three attacking players. They need to score goals. So while they had a great debut, both of them, I think Sesko not so much, but he came on. But while Mbeumo and Cunha had a good debut, eventually you're going to want more out of them. You're going to want goals and you're going to want assists because they're attacking players. So you can't just look at the first game and think it's going to go like that for the rest of the season. There's so much more football to play. There's so much more reps to be had for each of these teams, for each of these players.
I understand that. But you also connect 2 and 2 in your head and go, if Cunha is playing like that against one of the best defenses in Europe, how's he going to do next week against Fulham?
Yeah, you would.
You know what I mean?
You would assume.
But I'm just saying, after this great performance from United, there's a loss is written all over next week. It would be the least surprising thing that if we put up a horrible performance at Craven Cottage next week.
Really?
It's going to be a roller coaster. I can already tell. I'm just trying to keep my cool, but yeah.
You want to talk about Cunha and Mbeumo real quick? Their debut?
Yeah, they looked exceptional.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Cunha. He has that talismanic nature that I feel like United could really need, especially in that number 10 position.
He had a great game.
He just
balled out. The one notable moment for me is that back heel touch that eliminates a midfielder.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he drives past two or three more players to play Mbeumo through. But that's what you need from a Manchester United player.
Yeah.
And that's what he did yesterday. And if he can continue that throughout the entire season against the worst teams, because this was the best defense in the league, let's be honest, right?
Yep.
So if he can do that against the teams that aren't that good defensively, as good as Arsenal defensively, then I think Mbeumo and Cunha can change things in this Manchester United squad.
We kept so much of the ball, which really surprised me, because we are still playing a very similar style of football last year where we're playing direct. We're not playing the City way of just short pass, backwards, sideways. But like there'd be a lot of instances where Yoro had the ball, he'd launch it cross field to like an Mbeumo, and then Mbeumo takes one touch, knocks it down to Acuna, and all of a sudden the play is like completely on the other side of the field. Last year, that would have been a Garnacho or a Rashford or somebody with a horrible first touch compared to Brian and Mbeumo. Mm-hmm. And it'd be, you know, either we lose a second ball or just one way or another we lose possession. And if we're launching that up into a Mbeumo or a Cunha or someone with the technical ability there instead of those couple of guys, then man,
yeah,
I'm feeling a lot better.
Just in their personality alone, you can tell that they want to change things in this club. Like, you can tell that they want to take their responsibilities in this team. I mean, Cunha is, he just wants to, he's very eager to take his man on and create those chances. Mbeumo is very eager to take those chances on, or take his man on and create those chances. And then Cunha has, like, he has a first touch above the average first touch in the Premier League. So he can be that guy that can create those chances for you. So just based off of their personalities alone, this is exactly what Manchester United needed.
I also didn't think Mason Mount was that bad.
Yeah, he wasn't bad at all.
It's like those especially three in the role
that he isn't really used to playing.
I think it was Dorgu who impressed me the most in that game.
Dorgu,
think,
I've been saying, is in for a season.
And you've definitely been tooting his horn, and rightfully so, because him on the left side is dangerous. I thought he marked Saka extremely well, first of all, but he was a threat going forward. He hit the post on that beautiful strike on the left-hand side, and I think him as, like, the profile that you guys need, he's, like, the perfect left mid, left wing back, whatever you want to call him in your system.
Yeah.
You've hyped him up a lot. I haven't always been on that train, but, like, that performance is solid.
You know whose train I'm not on?
Who?
Ugarte's.
Oh, my goodness.
I am. He was good for Arsenal.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I think Ruben Amorim coached a great game, did the best from a coach's perspective that he could have. But his one mistake, man, I have to say, you have Colby Mainoo and Manuel Ugarte coming on the field. You need a technical midfielder to help United keep hold the ball, and you're bringing on Ugarte instead of Mainoo, and I can't ride with that decision. Yeah.
Does that maybe say something about how he trusts or doesn't trust, in this instance, Colby Mainoo?
You would
maybe
think, right? That's
well, Mainoo has, like, Mainoo's played in that 8 and that 6 before, like that pivot, and he hasn't really impressed under Emery. He's played his best football in the last 12 months for United in that 10 position. But he's kind of like, in between. Like, I don't know how to feel. Like, he's in between that 8 and that 10. We don't know yet which he suits better. So I don't know if Amorim didn't want to throw the young kid in or whatever. We spent how much money on Ugarte last summer? We should be able to rely on him. But I just think, like, it's the same reason why PSG let him go last summer.
I don't know
it's
how
not
we,
just
I don't
his
know how
intensity.
We sold it to you guys, by the way. I don't know what the hell we told you.
Well, yeah, that's crazy. For the role that he was going to do under Ten Hag, I see the vision.
Because how much did you pay?
It was like 55.
Yeah. That's good money in our pockets.
Yeah. And it enabled you guys to buy Jean Neves.
We spent 20 more to get Kvaratskhelia.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Maybe, this might be very naive, but is there a sense of, I don't know, like, what's the word when you're very resolved, very reserved from Amorim? Because it seems like you said he doesn't want to put maybe stubborn, but he doesn't want to put Cesco in because you want to give him time.
Yeah.
Like, you call Mainoo a kid. I don't think, like, he's young, but Mainoo has a lot of experience.
Yeah, like, 20, this is a guy that started in the Euros final in 2024.
That's what I mean.
So,
like,
this is a guy that's tipped as one of the best youngsters in the world.
And,
like,
obviously, there's been off-the-field stuff, but is there a hint of stubbornness, a hint of he doesn't exactly want to, you know, go against what he thinks is right, even though it might be the better thing to do?
There may be a little bit of that. I think Ruben Amorim, sometimes to his detriment, has such a long view of United and the project and whatnot. Like, from his perspective, and I'm not saying this is correct, he may see, like, okay, I would rather put my trust in Ugarte, even if it may be a little bit less effective in these 20 minutes right here, than bring on Mainoo, risk his development, maybe knock his confidence or what have you. Because, like, we were talking about this during the stream, Blink. Like, if you were questioning why Cesco didn't start.
Yeah.
And I see that perspective a lot. But I think from Amorim's perspective, this is the worst game to start Cesco in. He has not touched a minute of the field for United yet.
No preseason.
Played no preseason for us. Like,
or for Leipzig.
He's got a lot of pressure on him. He's still a young player. Like, I think the transition into United should be quicker than it was for, like, a Hoyland. But to Hoyland's point, I actually think his development was so stunted because we relied on him so much in his first season. Mm. When we brought Hoyland in, he was not supposed to be our starting striker. We were supposed to bring in a Kane or an Osimhen that same year. But because we didn't, we relied on Hoyland. And I think because we relied on Hoyland and he was so raw, it knocked his confidence. And then before he could even think about developing into the striker he had the potential to be, his confidence is so knocked that he's just gone.
Absolutely. Okay.
And now he's gone to Serie A again or wherever he goes. Don't want to risk the same thing with Cesco, and I also think Amorim doesn't want to risk the same thing with just any young player he sees.
Fair.
He knows Colby. He knows Colby has experience in those big moments. Like, I feel like he should have brought Colby on. We'll see how that develops over the next couple of weeks. But this is a project. We still suck. Don't get me wrong. And Amorim is not forgetting that. Okay. This is about development more than it is about flat out results in the here and right now.
Fair.
Anyways.
I just want to do one quick thing. One more quick thing. I think we need to actually consider David Raya as like one of the top keepers in the world at this point.
Were we not before?
It's just great performance after great performance after great performance. You hear about the best keepers. It's the Courtois, it's the Allisons, it's Donnarumma, and I think he's right there.
Absolutely.
I think he's right there. His distribution, his clutchness, his ability to make saves, his ability to make saves he's not supposed to, the way he gets down so quickly.
The fact that I rarely, if not at all, see any mistakes from David Raya is what makes it so impressive.
And like he had one today. He had a little thing with a ball at his feet, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, but it's not like...
But it's not detrimental.
Serious mistakes.
Exactly. He's just so class. Yeah. Love you, David Raya. Like, the fact that I thought that Aaron Ramsdale should be the keeper over him at a time is one of the worst takes I've ever had in my life, but he's...
And you've had some bad ones.
And I've had some bad ones. I want to go Sancho for you quickly and your thoughts on that, and you can explain that situation.
What a little rat. We explained before how the biggest thing for United is getting rid of the bad apples, and this is a bad app. The one thing worse than a bad apple is a bad apple that refuses to be thrown out because right. He wants to sit at home playing FIFA. We talked about this a little bit when he walked into
it. It's not a bad apple. It's a rotten apple.
Rotten apple. Like, you're trying to throw it in the garbage, but like it's so toxic, like you can't even touch it. It refuses to move.
Yeah.
Refuses to move. United accepted a 20 million euro bid from AS Roma for Jadon Sancho. That's pennies on the dollar compared to what we bought him for. But this MF-er, despite no interest from anywhere besides Roma and a little bit from Turkey, is refusing to go. He wants to keep his wages. It's the reason he's not staying at Chelsea right now, is because he asked for way too much for his wages. He doesn't want to go to Turkey, who notoriously will pay a bunch in wages, just ask Victor Osimhen. And now Roma, who you said have like a good little outside shot for the Serie A title this year, they're building a good little side there. He doesn't want to join that project, and instead he wants to continue to rot in the United reserves, earning 250k, 300k a week
for doing nothing.
For doing
absolutely
nothing.
I believe they call that a Yikers. I believe
that's disgusting behavior.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know how weak mentally you have to be. That's disgusting. That's so...
I also would like to see how you would react if you were told that you can earn 250k a week for sitting on your ass.
Yeah, facts.
No, but it's not
fact,
even...
Facts, so facts, so facts.
It's not even... But it's either 250 or 150. I'm sorry.
That's a lot of money.
This guy
it's
is
a lot
like...
Of money. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
This guy's been scamming United for how many years now?
And he wants to keep doing it.
And he wants to... And like,
and
oh
I love
my
him
God.
For it.
The city boy at heart.
This guy
yes,
is,
sir! Right
this guy has all the money he could have ever asked for.
Don't make
he stabbed sitting in the back coming to United in the first place. He said he was home. And then he stunk up the gaff for how many years?
Yeah.
Gone in an argument with Ten Hag, has not touched the pitch for us first, was ecstatic when he went to Chelsea. He's commenting on his teammates' posts who leave United saying that they're free. And now he's back at the club, blacklisted from the training ground. And the least you could do if you have even an ounce of ambition in your career and life...
Wow.
...is as a footballer, I want to go play football.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
Hey.
I rarely say this about footballers because I understand they're human beings. I want to see them in the, like, I want to put myself in their shoes and be, like, as understanding as I can be. I've done it before when players are playing really badly and they'll do some effed up stuff. But I don't care. This is pathetic. Pathetic.
Yeah.
He should be ashamed of himself. Seriously.
I think the funniest thing about this whole Jadon Sancho thing is that he was bad. He was not playing for Ten Hag. Under Ten Hag 2 years ago or last year. Then he went to Dortmund, balled out, and then he came back and did nothing.
Yeah.
It's like no, the one time he leaves, he balls out.
Yeah.
He came here first year was under Ollie. That was a terrible year for everybody. I understand that. Whatever. Ten Hag comes in, he looks good in preseason. He ends up playing, he has like a couple of months where he's like kind of like in and out the team, not doing that well. Ten Hag takes him, puts his arm around him, sends him to the Netherlands for like 3 months. He says, you know what? You don't worry. You just focus on getting better and getting in the right headspace, and you can come back whenever you feel like it. He comes back. He starts performing when he returns to the team. He looks decent. We all end the season pretty badly in that first Ten Hag year. He comes back in his second year just out of it. Just offering nothing, not giving anything in training, undermining the manager. And the manager did exactly what he should have done and excluded him from a big game against Arsenal. And then he puts out a statement. And then he refuses to apologize. Mm-hmm. And then he... yeah. And then he sits on his ass just begging for a Dortmund move. And then when he comes back, Dortmund didn't want him back. He's like, okay, I'm going to go to your Premier League rival now. And now that Premier League rival wanted to buy him, but Jadon Sancho wanted too much money. And now only Roma and some Turkish outfits want him. And he's still refusing to leave. It's just, I don't know who this guy thinks he is. But at this point, I'm almost at the point with him and Garnacho where I'm like, you know what? Let him stay. Let him fucking collect their wages, whatever. Just don't even let them play football. Just, yeah.
And I mean, like, I think there we talked about this before, yeah, but there is a little bit of fault on United because there has to be some sort of toxicity within, not right now, but beforehand that, you know, spread to the Alexis Sanchez's and the Antony's and Sancho's. And like, there's some sort of thing there. I don't think it's there anymore. I do think that Emery is the guy, but I'm just putting that there, which I know you know. I know you're aware of too. But that doesn't excuse his behavior.
Yeah. It does not excuse his behavior whatsoever.
But like W him. Get your bag. We can move on.
Yeah. He's getting a bag wherever he goes, let's be real.
Yeah, fair.
He can go to MLS, he can go to freaking Saudi. York United in the CPL. Mm-hmm. And he's getting six figures a week.
Yeah.
Like it's just ridiculous. Let's move on outside of United and Arsenal. Let's move on to do we want to go City?
Sure. Let's go City.
Sure.
What a performance, man.
You know what? There was a little bit of a something there brewing for Wolves in the first 20 minutes. Beginning,
yeah. And
disallowed goal?
At the beginning of the second half. Disallowed goal,
that's right.
Yeah, I think someone needs to teach, what's his name, Munetsi? The offside rule. Yeah. Oh, brother. That guy was offside a lot. Anyways, but no, a great performance from City. I want to say, like, this is going to sound crazy to you because this is going to feed into the narrative that I'm a City fan, but a reassuring performance, in my opinion, for City.
Motherfucker said reassuring, bro.
After what we've seen last season and the bad football that they were playing and everything that happened to them, I was reassured with this performance that this is the City team that we truly know and love is back.
Yeah, it was Wolves.
Is back.
It was Wolves.
Is back.
But they're scary. They're definitely scary.
You can't come out of that game and tell me that City aren't
scary. I said who's gonna feed Haaland if it's not De Bruyne, and it clearly it's to Johnny. So
his football IQ is incredible in my opinion. And it's showcased on a third goal specifically. He doesn't see Haaland, but he just knows that he's there.
He sees the space and he knows that he's there.
It's disgusting.
I mean, like, again, one game, but signing of the season is looking more and more likely with this guy. Like, again,
Maybe.
Look, and again,
we're looking good one game in.
Yeah.
The take is aging well.
You say were? Do you say were?
No, like were, like the take is aging well.
Oh, see, he's such a City fan.
No, I'm not. Dude.
Like, I know, obviously I wasn't as invested in his career when he was in Serie A, but like, dude, just watching him is good. Like, it's annoying to watch a City player and be like, damn, like you're...
Yeah.
I don't hate him as much because I haven't seen him play for City for that long.
I think it shows how good of a player he is. The fact that 5 minutes into the game, I'm texting you guys, like, why is he everywhere right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
5 minutes into the game, this guy was already all over the pitch.
And he like, again, I've asked this about Declan Rice, but I'm asking this about him. Like, what can he not do? And what can he not do at an elite level?
It's ridiculous. I've been high on Tijani Reinders. Like, we mentioned it last week. And so you said, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's player of the year. And I know it's been 1 week, but that's looking like an exceptional take because nobody expected this. Nobody expected this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, grain of salt, it's Wolves. And I have them going down. They should do this.
This is how you perform against a bottom five team.
If you want to put yourself in that
You can
category,
say this is Wolves,
sure,
but... Sure,
dude. Well, bottom six, to be fair to you.
You can also say Wolves had chances, which they did. I thought Trafford also had a great debut. The shot stopping and the distribution as well, because on the third goal he's the one that plays the ball into Tijani Reinders, a long ball,
but like
which is not a City goal at all, by the way. Like, that's also one thing that I noticed in their game is that they've kind of not strayed away, but the Pep Guardiola way of scoring goals wasn't showcased as much in this game. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the Liverpool way of scoring goals, especially on that third goal. Like if you
like
replace
an Allison ball.
Exactly. Yeah. If you replace the City players, if you put red shirts on them and you don't and you take out their faces, whatever, you would think that it was a Liverpool goal. Just the way that they scored. It's a long ball to the midfielder who then cuts it back to Haaland. It's a very vertical goal.
Yeah.
It's not what City are used to, but I like how versatile they're becoming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a stark difference from 2 years ago when we were like, oh, Pepe eyeball. Oh, my goodness. Like, where's the love of the game gone? And now it's looking like, I love this.
Well,
it's fun watching City again. This is good.
And it makes sense, right? Because the turnover has been so drastic. The personnel in this squad is so different. Their midfield three was Silva, Nico Gonzalez, and Tijani Reinders. Like, there has to be some sort of play style difference when you have that three. It's not your Rodri, your Kevin De Bruyne. Mm-hmm. I know Rodri's still a huge part of this team, but yeah.
I think it's also a big thing that Pep rehauled his entire coaching staff as well.
Oh,
they picked up I saw Kolo Touré on the touchline, and I also saw Pep Blinders, the old Liverpool assistant coach.
Okay. Oh, I did hear about
that. And apparently I've seen a couple of reports that he challenges Pep in his ideologies and how they play, which is
so good.
Which is great for them.
I just have a question about their whole goalkeeping situation. Like, I know Ederson's out, he's going to leave, but like if they get
Donnarumma,
like, is that even good for them? Does that help what they want to do? Like, maybe right now?
I think they're sorted, bro. I think they're sorted.
Like it's just such a weird thing. I don't know if it's going to happen, but...
Yeah, it's definitely a weird situation there. I mean, over all these years, we know how detrimental it can be to have two, like, world-class goalkeepers as potential starters.
We've like seen Ryan Ramsdale.
For my team specifically, we had Navas and Donnarumma for a long time, or for a year or two.
Yeah.
And It wasn't the best thing ever because who do you start? There's a debate on who's better. That obviously gets into the players' heads. It's annoying, right? So if Donnarumma goes to City, there's going to be that debate of between him and Trafford.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trafford, in my opinion, is better on the ball, like with the ball at his feet. Donnarumma is obviously a better shot stopper, in my opinion.
Of course.
So it's going to be a debate.
Well, and then just what if they get Donnarumma before they sell Ederson? Then they have Donnarumma, Trafford, Ortega, and who am I missing?
Donnarumma, Trafford, Ortega, Ederson.
Before they sell Ederson, they have four. And then, like, what if they get Donnarumma? Do they sell Ortega too? Like,
yeah.
How greedy.
It's so greedy, dude. Like, it's so greedy.
I think from a City perspective, the prospect of getting the best goalkeeper from last season right now is almost an opportunity too good to pass up.
Yeah, that is true. Fair. That is true.
It's just, I don't know. I think it might cause more problems.
But then you're also seeing reports that Pep wants a thinner squad and thinks he has too many players.
Exactly, bro. And it's like,
He wants a thinner squad. He just wants to challenge himself. He just wants to, I hope Rodri stays injured because I just want to.
As if last season wasn't.
Like, you know, you're playing career mode, you had like sliders, like you make the team harder.
Yeah. I actually did that yesterday on my Bournemouth career. I beat Liverpool 2-0.
You're grinding it, eh?
And I'm like, you know what? This is too easy now. I signed Jamie Gittens and Carlos Baleba.
There you go.
Oh, awful debut. Awful debut, by the way, Gittens.
Should we go Bournemouth now?
We could.
I said go Bournemouth, not Liverpool.
I wanna say one more. I wanna throw a bone to Antoine just one more time here in the City game. Talk to me about Cherki.
Oh my God. I think Cherki has arrived, is the best way to put it. Ryan Cherki has arrived to the Premier League. I'm sorry, I don't know why you guys are
loving
laughing.
I'm loving this pod so much.
Blake has his
18-minute cameo.
18-minute cameo, but from the comp that came out of that 18-minute cameo, you would have thought that he played a full 90.
Okay.
You would have thought that he played a full 90. The brilliance that this player has, man, the technical ability to always find the right pass at all times, to always evade defenders whenever he needs, his finishing ability, it was very good.
We saw that
on display. It was very good for Lyon. It seems to be even better now. I mean, this is an all-around player that will have a spot in the first team within the next couple weeks, without a doubt, in my opinion.
Welcome back, Kevin De Bruyne.
We have a replacement.
What are we doing? Like, you're actually... Julian, you're delusional now.
I'm not delusional. Did you watch the game?
I did, yeah. In pieces. I didn't watch the whole thing. But yeah, I did. I watched his goal.
Did you watch Cherki?
Yeah, I watched his goal. Okay.
You can call it Blaze.
But I'm just... You're...
This is.
I don't understand you, man. You're like me. I feel like you only dislike Arsenal now.
No, you know what? The thing is, when your team is so shit, is that you could look at the teams above you objectively.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm almost like ready for United to be good again because I hate this "oh, we suck" excuse. Right. "Oh, we suck, so nothing matters." "Oh, we suck, so if we lose and we have a good performance, it doesn't." Inspire.
This is why, like, the biggest ball knowers we know will be like a Bolton fan or like a West Brom fan.
True.
Or like a.
I mean, fair, you know, yeah.
Because they could just look at everything objectively.
Yeah.
It's just, anyway.
No bias.
But just like you, do you even like hate watching team besides Arsenal?
I watch with love.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can hate watch City right now.
No, I can. No, I don't still can. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's don't possible. Don't get me wrong. If Strand Larsen grabbed a winner, then I'm jumping out my seat. Don't get me wrong.
Look at the technical ability in that City team, and you just can't hate on it.
Okay.
You can't hate on it.
Can we please move on? Because what is happening?
I'm being serious.
Of course you can hate on it.
No, you can't.
But it's City, so of course
if you like football,
oh my goodness.
You like the City team right now. I'm sorry.
No. That's like saying if you like baseball, you like the Dodgers because they have the best players. No.
But it's not about having the best players. They have very good players in that team, but it's about how they bring it together as a whole. Dude, the intelligence of half those... You can call it glaze. I don't care, dude. This is warranted. I don't care. The intelligence that all these players
have. It's one game, lads. Like, fuck.
It's one game, but we've seen it at the Club World Cup, too. We've seen how Reinders played at the Club World Cup for City. We've seen how Shirky did. This is great football, and I don't think you can hate
it. You know what? At least we have another perspective on the podcast that's from a different Big Six team. I like that. Like, seriously? A Big Six team fan.
Okay.
Because we have two Arsenal, and it's, like, obviously Miles isn't here, but it is nice to have, like... Three different perspectives. From
I'm not a City fan at all, by the way. Wow. I'm a City fan in terms of their football. I'm not a City fan.
The money, the PSG money.
I'll tell you who I'm a fan of this season. It's Sunderland, by the way.
Let's hit them really quick.
See, I questioned your reality. I wanted to go Bournemouth.
Okay,
go Bournemouth.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, we're going to cover everybody. We'll hate on Chelsea, too. I'm excited for that part. Talk to me about the Liverpool game a little bit. What was your impression watching?
First of all, first hate watch of the season was a failure.
Mixed results.
It was a lot of fun, though. I had so much fun, and I think you guys did, too. That, like, I don't want to say game of the season contender in the first week, but, like, there's not going to be a lot of better games than we had then in that first game.
Great season.
Oh, yeah.
We saw, like, Ekitike absolutely killing it.
What a baller.
And again, I was hate watching him, too, but what did I see from him? I saw persistence. I saw skill. I saw hold-up play, and I saw a goal, a really well-taken goal. I thought Salah did his Salah thing where he ghosted for 85 minutes and then scored the winner. Or not the winner, I guess the fourth goal. But I think the Liverpool team looks good, but the same kind of trends are continuing from last season. Their defense was their biggest issue last season. Their attack was fantastic. Salah had a player of the year caliber season, but the biggest issue was their defense. They couldn't stop leaking goals in big moments. Obviously, it didn't matter to them in the end, but that was their one weakness. And it kind of seems like it's still the same thing. Konate had an absolute mare of a game. Mm-hmm. An absolute mare. He was out of place, and it made...
Mare is crazy. He had a bad game. He didn't have a mare.
I mean, he was terrible. On that second Semenyo goal, he's just letting him walk right through, and it makes Van Dijk look bad. But
well, you let him walk through because there's a guy on your left. It's a very difficult position to be in as a defender.
I thought Konate just... didn't look
because right as I'm watching the second Semedo goal, I'm like saying like if I'm by someone's teammate, if I'm Semedo's teammate, I'm saying play it to the left.
I was
in front of the TV saying left.
I did too, but I mean you have to play in front of you, and if he's just gonna keep walking, you gotta close him down eventually.
I guess you're right.
I thought Canales didn't have a good game, but either way,
no, I'm not saying he had a good game. I don't think he had a good game either. But Mary's kind of.
But I mean, they did their thing, right? And then I think Bournemouth have what they did was just prove that they can still play. They proved that despite. Losing their entire back line.
Yeah.
That they can still play.
Yeah. And they kind of... I liked what their replacements, the backline replacements for Bournemouth did. I liked Truffert at left back.
Yeah,
he looked decent.
He looked good.
He had a lot to do, obviously, with Salah on his wing and everything. But I thought he looked decent, especially going forward as well. He was very animated.
Yeah.
And then Bafodé Diakité, who I was talking about, Liverpool should sign as a backup center back. Bournemouth ended up signing him.
Yeah.
I thought he wasn't half bad either.
I'm gonna be honest though, Adam Smith at right back, like he was on the team when I did like my Bournemouth crew mode in like FIFA 17.
Yep.
So like that might be an issue. But
don't I sold him day one of mine.
Don't they have Bournemouth have Julian Araujo, I think. I don't know why he's not.
They
starting.
Do.
Yeah.
Right?
The Mexican. You're just injury prone last year.
Yeah, he was on the bench.
See that? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he that bad of a player? That
no, he's pretty good.
Because I know he's young, and I know he was.
And like
Philip, very highly touted for Barcelona.
Philip Billing didn't play today or yesterday or yesterday on the weekend. Yeah. So interesting. But we can go to Liverpool.
A champion's performance, some would say.
It was good.
Champion's mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy for Chiesa as well.
Yeah, his first Premier League goal. Who would have freaking thought?
I rage baited in fan first shout. I was like, oh, he scored a tap in. Like, what? It was a good finish. Ryan got so mad at me.
I think the overall performance from Liverpool pretty dominant, but the defense, like the shakiness showed itself. That was my worry a little bit. I was like, is Van Dijk 34 now? Is he getting to that age? Konate, can we trust him next to a defender that's kind of falling off? And then they sign an 18-year-old wonder kid at center back. And now apparently they're in for Mark Gahey as well, who doesn't look the most keen to stay at Palace either.
Did y'all see that at the end of the game?
Yeah.
Glasner tried to talk to him. Yeah. He just
did the dickhead move.
Man, we got to talk about that later. Like that whole players wanting out and just disrespecting the club. But anyway, go ahead.
I think a notable part of this game is like everybody's hating on that Verts performance, but it wasn't that bad at all.
It was not that bad. It wasn't great.
Like I was watching it. Very rare I watch a football game without Twitter open, but I was just watching this by itself, and then I'm seeing this guy everywhere. I'm seeing him link up with McAllister and Gravenberg pretty well. He's controlling possession pretty well. He's trying some stuff that isn't coming off. I think the physicality he's not really used to yet in the Premier League, but he's mostly pretty tidy in possession. I'm like, okay, this is an okay performance. He's not really that second striker role that he was playing at Leverkusen, but he's not bad right now. And then after the game, I joked to myself, like, let me go on Twitter and just see every rival saying that he's like had the worst performance of his career.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
I
see.
I didn't think he had a greatest performance.
And it's going to keep coming.
In my opinion. I don't think he had the greatest performance.
I think I'm somewhere in the middle between you two.
Yeah.
More
because I don't want to say shocked because I wasn't shocked, but from what we know Florian Wirtz as, that wasn't a Florian Wirtz performance.
And do you not think he should be held to that standard?
Absolutely. I think he should.
Okay.
But I think he was forgiven mostly because the players around him played so well.
Yeah.
Because an Ekitike could drop in the midfield and pick up the balls that Florian Wirtz would usually have. Yeah. I think the activity in the midfield with Ekitike dropping deep is very good for Florian Wirtz in terms of compensating for his so-called mistakes that he had against Bournemouth.
Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, speaking of okay performances, Salah, once again, how many times we say this? Bit of a subpar performance, and then he just covers it up with a goal at the end.
Yeah.
Great goal.
Right foot.
I think he genuinely is the best player at doing this.
Yeah.
Being absolutely terrible and then just scoring.
Yeah.
Like, name another player who does it more often than him.
He's just efficient. Just efficient.
That's what you need from the biggest players in the world, let's be honest.
Game-breakability.
Yeah. Baller. That's
exactly. Yeah. We're talking about technical ability. And looking at this Liverpool side, they have Salah who could do shit. Like, Vert's one of the best in Europe. Ekitike, baller.
Okay, see.
No, Gakpo as well. Gakpo as well.
Gakpo, underrated as well. Took his goal very, very, very well.
And then you're riches.
Saying Ekitike is a game breaker right now, and you're not giving Gyökeres any...
I think
no, because they're... Whoa.
No, but...
Because they're different.
So how are you comparing... They're completely different profiles, first of all.
We're not talking about profile of player. We're talking about game breakability. If they have the opportunity to do so.
I think they go hand in hand.
I think Ekitike's ceiling in terms of game breakability is much higher than Gyökeres.
Because game breakability can be like Zlatan back in the day when PSG was having a poor performance. Picks up the ball, turns, goes around a defender, shoots one from 25 yards, and it goes top right. That's something that like a Haaland couldn't do. Doesn't mean Ibrahimovic is better than Haaland, but the way in which they get their goals are completely different. Yeah, I'd argue that Ibrahimovic has more game breakability and individual moments than Haaland.
That's not what I mean. I just mean like to flip a game on its head. Dude, you don't have to dribble through seven players to flip a game on its head.
No, absolutely.
You just have to do the right thing. Make the moment worth the time.
I don't think Ekitike put a foot wrong in that game.
No. And Ekitike was great. I'm just adding Arsenal agenda as I do.
All right. Just so that when they do perform, you have that cushion.
Wait, we win something this year. Wait, you'll never hear the end of it. And I think I deserve to be able to do that if they do win. I think so.
Because you've been so nice to us.
And you've been so nice to me back. The suit, the boots.
Suits, boots.
Yeah. Anyway. And then shout out to Semenyo for doing his thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. After that.
He has a big role.
Dickhead.
Yeah, that absolute idiot. He has a big role this season for Bournemouth, though.
He has to, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He has to be the main guy in attack.
I'm so scared about the Bournemouth striker, though. Like, Evan Nilsson was so shit at the beginning of last season. Like, he was the Lacazette guy. Or the, I don't know, the Igalo or whoever.
Yeah,
like,
that's their club record signing.
Yeah, they do, like, the little things, but they don't score, man. And like, the days of Callum Wilson at Bournemouth.
Just wait for Kroupi to make his way in that lineup.
Oh, yeah.
He came on, right?
He came on the 90th.
Yeah.
Just made a cameo.
And Hamad Traore, actually another guy I signed in a career mode.
Hamad Traore.
Yeah.
In the Bournemouth career mode?
In the Empoli career mode.
An Empoli career mode. Yeah. Damn you.
That career mode is really
that's
good.
Solid. That's solid. Okay. Shall we move on to another game, lads? I want to talk about Chelsea, Crystal Palace. A lot to talk about in that game. Chelsea, very subpar performance. João Pedro fooling FPL managers everywhere.
Yeah.
And Eze, for the second opening weekend in a row, robbed by these refs.
By a free kick.
Yeah. By a free kick as well.
So I guess technically by letter of the law. Which it's miss been game week one, and we're
miss,
already
miss me with that.
And we're already talking about letter of the law. Get ready, kids. But technically, I do think that that's a no goal because you have to be a meter away from the wall and you push him in. But like, fuck it, that's a goal, dude. Like, it should be a goal. It was a beautiful strike. Sanchez, although he was unsighted, was looking terrible on that strike. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest. Although
I think we unanimously knew that Eze would score that.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Yeah. I think a lot of people, like, you know, when Darwin Nunez missed his penalty against PSG, everybody knew he was going to miss.
When Morata stepped up against Portugal,
everybody knew he was going to miss. I think when Eze steps up here, obviously it's a different shot and it's harder to score. But I think a lot of people knew he was going to score.
Yeah.
Myself included.
Man, if he goes to Tottenham, when he does go to Tottenham, it's going to suck, dude.
I want to talk about how bullshit this call was, because, like, I'm not even, like, deeping it as much. It's not even the fact that it's letter of the law, like we see free kicks every single week where a player is less than a meter away from the wall. It's the fact that this exact situation happened last season at Stamford Bridge from the exact same position on the field. Reece James scored a winner against Bournemouth last season in the 95th minute on a free kick, and it was the exact same.
Same thing.
He's on the top of the box, or like slightly to the left, and he goes far post.
Yeah.
He goes to the goalkeeper's left. And one of his teammates is kind of like pushing the defender out the way to create that gap, and he just slots it. This is the photo right here. I know viewers can't really see this as much, but like you two, like look at that. Mm-hmm. Tell me that's not the exact same thing as Eze's goal that he scored yesterday. He pushes
them into the wall, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
The exact same. So it's just like, it's unexplainable just how nitpicky you have to be to disallow that as a goal.
It was bad.
And last year, he scored an absolute worldie against Brentford from 30 yards out on a free kick, and it got disallowed due to a BS call that PGMOL admitted to as well. It was Will Hughes pushing down one of the Brentford defenders while the free kick is going in the net. But it wasn't a push. The guy dived. But since the referee blew his whistle while the ball was in the air, they couldn't go back and allow the goal in retrospect. Yeah. It was BS. And he's been shafted here once again. Oh, it's so unlucky. It's so unlucky because this could be his last game in a Crystal Palace shirt. And if he went out scoring the winner
against Chelsea, a title contender,
the world champions. Did you see those banners?
Oh yeah,
that's crazy. That would have been an amazing way
you
to go out.
You said the Club World Cup matters. You said it matters.
It does.
Yeah, but we all went like, are they going to be referred to as the world champions? And we're like, all right. But anyways, that would have been the best way to go out. And it's just the referees once again just absolutely robbing them. And this is a slippery slope. If we're disallowing this because Gahey wasn't a meter away from the wall, how many future free kicks in the next couple of weeks are we going to at least go like, okay, but he was only like, 90. You know, 0.8 meters away from the wall. Why did this get disallowed? You know, like, and it's just such a slippery slope we're going down, because you look at Bruno's free kick against Arsenal last year. There's a United player practically in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is different rules. It was Champions League, but both of Rice's free kicks against Real Madrid last year, there was an Arsenal player right next to the wall.
I don't know if we're disallowing
goals where this perfectly normal thing is happening, then we're going to have some very controversial moments if this is the precedent that we're setting.
So last year was the red card year. Maybe this year will be the free kick year.
And it's both remember last year where it was like Rice getting a red card. Was it Rice getting a red card for kicking the ball away?
Oh.
It was like letter of the law. Sure.
Right.
You actually
like
just
you it's that. But also
I want
to
cry.
Like, you have to be so you have to be so soft to see that and actually call that and apply the rules as well.
Yeah.
Like, letter of the law would be you can't push a goalkeeper as he's trying to punch a ball away on a corner.
Yeah.
But that's what happened to Bayinder. But I don't think the blame should be taken off Bayinder for being weak and getting pushed during that corner. You're a goalkeeper. You can use your hands, punch it away. I'm not saying that should have been disallowed, but letter of the law would say that you're not allowed, that Saliba is not allowed to push Bayinder there. Thank God we're not too soft and that didn't get disallowed. But like, it's selective refereeing. And there's like an agenda here against Eze I don't like. But anyways, let's talk about the Gehi thing as well.
Yeah, did you see the Gehi looking at Glasner and walking off the pitch?
Yeah, so interesting. There's a genuine issue now with these players disrespecting their clubs and their managers. Like, I get this is a thing that they do. They want to move out and they have to force a move if it's that evident that they need to be out of the club. But there has to be a more ethical way about going about it instead of just refusing to train and play for the team. And I get Gyökeres did it for us too.
Yeah.
But like, at least he did it during the preseason. He did it in the summer. It wasn't leading into the season. Like, in my opinion, if you don't get a move done because Newcastle value Isak at a fair price, Crystal Palace are valuing Gay at a fair price. This is more of an Isak thing now, but it's like, you should be playing for the team that you're under contract for.
Absolutely.
If you don't want to be there, like that's how football works.
There's also that for me, I'm looking at it from a player perspective. All the players in the world that come up and are highly touted, they all have the ambitions to play for the biggest teams in the world and win the biggest trophies in the world. When you are talked to go to a Liverpool who are Premier League champions and European contenders, Champions League contenders, and your club is almost blocking that move, inhibiting you to fulfill yourself to the full potential, obviously you're going to feel a little bit hard done by because your dreams are unable to be fulfilled for that period of time.
For sure.
So maybe taking it out on Glasner isn't the best thing to do because he's probably not the one making the final decision and not the one valuing his price. But I see where Gehi and Isak are coming from that regard.
And this is why I respect Eze so much, because his move to Tottenham practically looks done, but he's still giving everything for Palace, which I respect very highly.
100%
in an age, especially this summer, we've had Isak going on strike. Vissa has gone on strike for Brentford. Yeah. That's not getting talked about enough. He really wants that move to Newcastle.
Did he play?
No.
No, he didn't play.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's doing the exact same thing that Isak is doing. Garnacho as well. I know it's like kind of like
different, it's a little
different situation.
Gyökeres did it.
Yeah, even Jadon Sancho to a degree would like... by rather like going on strike and waiting for, I guess, an offer he likes to come rather than playing or just anything like that. Just being stubborn. That's what these players mean. They're just too much stubborn.
Yeah.
Too much stubbornness.
It's an issue.
Eze is actually,
Yeah. Do you want
to
go?
Respect Eze.
Yeah, facts. Do you want to like talk about the Chelsea performance a little bit more?
Cole Palmer, no open play goal since January.
So like, I know he kind of fooled all the FPL managers too, but is there a genuine conversation, and I've asked this before last season, where Cole Palmer is regressing to the player that he maybe actually is, which is somewhere in between the levels of Cole Palmer that we saw and obviously not as terrible as he's been in this game and like for the last 2025?
I think Cole Palmer is an incredible player, first of all. I think his technical ability and his left foot, he has a wand of a left foot, right? I think he terrorized the Premier League so much in his first year with Chelsea that we are now holding him to a higher standard than we truly should be.
Okay.
Than his level actually suggests. I think he's very good.
Yeah.
He has moments of brilliance that I think unanimously make people know that he's that guy, right? The Club World Cup final, for example. Incredible.
True.
The moments in the first half of the season for Chelsea last season and then the year before, the entire season. Incredible. Mm-hmm. But when you see those stats where he hasn't scored an open play since January, his PR is on the level of fucking Lamine Yamal's PR team.
Yeah.
And he's not on the level of Lamine Yamal.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to bring it down a little bit.
So he is regressing a little bit.
I don't think he's regressing. I think we're doing too much for the level that he actually is.
And the age that he's at.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like...
25?
He did...
23.
23? He's got room. He's got room to grow still. Yeah, he's got so much time.
I'm just offering it up.
I think the difference between Cole Palmer in his first season versus third is that the level of Chelsea team and his role in that team is so different as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, even when he is performing well, you might see more games where he's putting up 7, 8 out of 10, but, you know, maybe Jamie Gittins grabbed the goal, or maybe Pedro Neto scored, or maybe Enzo Fernandez or Caicedo or João Pedro scored, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
He's not as, like, relied upon to do everything like he was a couple of years ago, and he's going to have less GA because of that. But this goes beyond just GA. He overall looked kind of poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this season's expectations for Chelsea, they've gone up.
Yeah, for sure.
We need a more decisive Chelsea team, a scarier Chelsea team. They need to get to that extra level, that level higher. We need a more regular Palmer. We need the players around him to start playing well. Like, they are real title contenders now. After winning the Club World Cup, this is the expectation that we have for
them.
This
is the expectation.
Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have to step it up.
Yeah, and they created an amount of chances, mm-hmm. like not an abundance of them, but the quality wasn't directly there in the level of chances that they could have gotten. And you could say that Crystal Palace defended well, but I do think that there is a sense of, again, one game with all of these. It's game week one. Yeah.
It's not embarrassing to lose to a Crystal or to draw to a Crystal Palace.
It's not at all. But like, you would have expected them, just like Arsenal, just like maybe other teams as well, like West Ham, mm-hmm. to come out of the gates with a little more oomph, a little more mm-hmm. firepower, and just kind of control the game and take the game to Crystal Palace a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not overly worried about Chelsea from their standpoint either.
There's still work to do, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jamie Gittins' debut didn't really impress. Estevao.
Wingers take time. Wingers take so much time. Exactly. Like, I think they are the most like volatile players that come into the Premier League, because it's like, how are you supposed to affect the game if you're not scoring and assisting and you don't have service, or your team isn't like getting the ball to you, or you don't have a lot of possession? Like, there's just so many things with wingers, mm-hmm. especially young wingers. Like, the midfielders, the ball's going to come to you. Mm-hmm. Are you making a good pass? Are you controlling the ball? Yes or no? The defenders, are you in the right position? Are you clearing the ball? Are you spreading it out to your wingbacks positively? Yes or no? A striker, are you scoring a goal? Yes or no? Respectfully. Yeah. Wingers is like, it's this weird in-between ground where you want to give them time, and they don't always look like they're having the best performances, but there is a lot more that they can offer to the game besides just like GA. So I think give them time, and I think Gittins is a great player, so he'll be fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to just like touch on the other games in the Premier
just,
League a
just
little
real
bit.
Real quick, we have to talk about Sunderland.
I was gonna go Sunderland.
Like, we need to, like, this. Like, the Premier League is so back with Sunderland.
So back.
This is the Premier League. This is Sunderland, and every aspect.
This is
of
Sunderland.
It, this is like.
This is Sunderland.
You have no idea how happy I was in front of my TV watching Mayenda score that first
goal. I don't think
goal.
You understand how a win in the Premier League is so not Sunderland, but go on.
Yeah, I bet that's so fun.
I know, go on. I mean, they're back. Like,
yeah.
They're a Premier League team from everything that means. Like,
0.6 XG, by the way, but go on.
Dude, like, just let me have my moment here. I was glazing them in the preseason, and now it's actually translating on the pitch.
Go on.
Somewhat. The moment that the camera pans onto the stadium and I see all the fans going crazy, I was like, yeah, this is serious.
You were talking about their chant.
Their chant
moved you.
The first thing that they sing, I think it's Falling in Love with You or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, bro. With everyone singing it, you get chills. I'm serious. But I was pleasantly surprised with Sunderland. I knew that they would play a decent level of football.
Yeah.
But I was scared that I was getting a little bit too ahead of myself with my predictions and what... And everyone was on the train saying that they're going to stay up, all this. I was scared that we were getting too ahead of ourselves. But from what I saw, I mean, they played very well. Defensively speaking, too, everyone was saying that the defense were going to leak in goals like crazy. Obviously, West Ham isn't the biggest offensive threat in the league. But I think the defense, and Sam Ballard specifically, I think they closed a lot of mouths on Saturday.
Arsenal boy, Sam Ballard.
Yeah. Great performance from him,
Daniel
by the way.
Ballard.
Daniel Ballard. Yeah.
Yes.
Poor from me. But no, that he gets that goal line clearance in the first half and then the goal in the second half, all while being dominant throughout the entire game defensively. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they closed a lot of mouths in the Premier League this Saturday, and I'm excited for what's to come.
Shout out the two guys, that triple captain Dan Ballard, man.
Yeah. Psychopaths.
Yeah,
the last time they won, they had, like, I don't know, Defoe in their team. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember Duncan Watmore?
Vaguely.
Can't say I do, no.
He was like, I swear, he was like the next up-and-comer from...
They had him?
Sunderland. They had him.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy. You remember him?
No.
Can't say
Duncan Watmore.
No.
Oh, I remember him.
Who else do I remember from
He was
Sunderland?
Next up. Until yeah. he wasn't.
Until he wasn't.
Yeah. When did they get relegated? Was it like 2016?
8 years ago. I have it right here. So 8 years, 2 months, and 27 days.
Wow.
Yeah. They're back. Good okay. for that, man. I'm West Ham looked, I mean, they had a...
They had an okay first half. Second half was a little risky.
I think this performance looked a lot worse than it was because of Mads Hermansson. Especially the third goal.
Mm. Yeah.
Brutal.
But that's their starting
brutal.
Keeper.
Brutal. That's their starting keeper.
It's not a
they got to sign Donnarumma, bro.
Yeah.
They got to sign Donnarumma.
Is Fab still there?
Fab?
Jensky?
Fabrizio Romano?
Oh, they have Areola. Put in Areola, man.
I think he's injured right now, no?
He was on the bench, so maybe. But where's Fabianski? He was always good for them.
Where's Fabianski?
But all I know is that the West Ham fans are crashing the freak out.
Yeah, I saw an American West Ham fan on my For You page. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know those existed.
They were less than happy.
You're retired, no? They were. No free agent.
Anything else to say on the Sunderland win?
No.
Okay, I'm going to move on now to another team in the lower half of the table. Okay. That did really well, impressed me. It was Tottenham.
I like what he did there.
Yeah. 3-1 against Burnley. Kudus looked 3-0. Really good. Richarlison.
3-0 against Burnley.
He's 3-0.
You said 3-1.
I said 3-0.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I heard 0 too.
Okay, go
ahead. Richarlison.
He just loves scoring scissor kicks, doesn't he? He loves scissoring.
What's happening?
I think loves scissoring.
Okay.
Good one, Blake.
Weird way to put it.
Good one, Blake.
Interesting.
Call it as it is, you know.
Six Share Box Podcast, everybody.
But no, it's crazy.
In a World Cup year, he always turns up. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. And let's be honest, he probably won't score for another 5 game weeks, but
you never know. I liked what he was showing against PSG. He said he wanted to talk about the Super Cup a little bit. I think he
Oh, sure, we could tie it in.
He gave Pacho a lot of problems, in my opinion, with his hold up play. But again, against Burnley, obviously Burnley is not they're relegation favorites. Let's be honest here. It's Burnley. Yeah. It's bloody Burnley. But
Todibo Jean-Claude. Sorry.
Todibo Jean-Claire. But no, like, he played very well against us, I thought. And then he carried his form onto Burnley.
I think I like this Thomas Frank system they got going here. Yeah. I think it works really well with this team. And especially if they got, like, a little Eze now. I don't know how it will work with, like, the Kudus minutes and how that'll work up front. But
I think
that'll
be fine. Eze's going to be the cam, right?
Yeah.
Instead of Madison when he's healthy, and right now Papa Matt Sarr, I guess. But
yeah, well, Madison's done for the season. I think.
Yes. But yeah, like this system, I'm really liking the look of. I really like Tottenham's chances for like shooting up in the table this season.
Really?
Yeah, I'm high on them, man.
Oh, you know, we're gonna have a very easy way to judge them next week with Manchester City.
Oh, what a game.
Bro, they always give them trouble.
Yeah, what a game.
It's a bogey team for City as well.
Who do I hate watching that
Where one? Is it? Where is it?
It's in Manchester, and it's at 7:30 a.m. for us.
See, is it 7:30?
We will be waking
I'll
up.
I'll be up. I'll be up.
Who do we hate watching that scenario? A draw, maybe? I don't know.
Let's just watch football.
Let's just watch the watch.
Why are we hate watching?
No, what?
Yes.
It is very different from me than you guys, though. Like, I genuinely have to, like, hope they lose so that we can win.
True. But, Blake, do you realize, like, this is the point of the season where you can just appreciate, assess, try to analyze. No.
What did I say at the beginning of the
year? But when we get to, like, game week 20, when it's, like, squeaky bum time, I appreciate that, and I'll be on that train. Hate watching, like, you know, Forrest or whoever's around us. But, like... Right now, just watch the watch.
I told you. Well, I wish I do. Like, I watched what game was it? The Brighton game. I watched the watch because it was, I mean, not the best quality there, but it was fun.
Yeah.
But what did I say at the beginning of the year? This is the year where I'm hate watching everything. I'm the biggest hate watcher you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fun doing so against Liverpool. Well, Bournemouth against Liverpool. And
how does it make you feel that Tottenham almost grab the same amount of trophies as you guys do in the past couple years, two to three.
How do you feel about that? Just don't care about them winning the Europa
League. And Oliver Glasner matching your trophy or Arteta's trophy cabinet. Sorry.
Like,
Kudus looked really
good.
Kudus looked
good. Yeah, fuck you guys. Yeah, Kudus looked
very good. Kudus looked very good.
He did.
Yeah.
Great pickup in my FPL. All
right.
Dude. We're gonna get to that when we get to that. But
we're doing that today. I forgot. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Excited.
Other games in the Premier League.
I think
Villa Newcastle 0-0.
Oh yeah, bad game.
Bad game.
If anyone wants to go rewatch that,
know what's funny? I woke up, I turned it on, and fell back asleep.
Yeah, that's how really? You know.
I gotta be honest. That's how you know. Gotta be honest. That's
how you I was know. In and out of that game.
I was in that game. I was trying not to fall asleep. It was tough. It was tough. I got
Alanga had a good chance right at the beginning of the game. Besides that, there wasn't much.
The game was almost as bad as Newcastle's green kit. Ooh. Let's just put it that
or
way.
Or you mean Fulham's green kit?
Fulham's green kit as well, but I think I don't like Newcastle's green kit.
I don't mind it.
No, that's shit.
Just have the Saudi sponsor. Like, you don't have to, ridiculous.
I miss this, guys. Premier League roundups?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Jacob Ramsey to Newcastle as well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Villa. I did see that.
And them. That's a good signing. Callie Mwendo, Amari Hutchinson,
James McAtee
to Forest. That's really good for them.
Amari Hutchinson was sold for like $50 million. That's like $15 million more than Arsenal's highest ever transfer. Like
transfer out.
Outgoing transfer.
I see.
God, we can't sell. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Shall we go around Europe as
Let's
well?
Let's do it.
I want to cover Barcelona.
Oh.
And their kit from last season, they looked really good.
Yeah, that was weird.
They looked really good against Mallorca.
I think the biggest thing in this Barcelona game was the biggest talking point was the referees.
Yeah.
Like, we are one game into this new season, and Barcelona are already having allegations of rigging games. The Barcelona is in full flow. The Barcelona train is in full flow.
Mm. Clip.
All right, we're clipping. So against Mallorca, the refereeing, there's people saying that the refereeing was clearly on Barcelona's side, and that was proven in their second goal. In their second goal, Lamine Yamal shoots the ball from outside the box, and it hits a defender's head. Defender right away falls to the ground, seemingly having a concussion or a head injury.
Which
they're
supposed to stop the game.
Letter of the law says that the referee should stop the game because it's a serious head injury, right?
Yep.
The guy hasn't got up for 10 seconds. The referee has the whistle at his mouth. Everybody stopped playing. Ferran Torres trickles past somebody that's not playing, shoots the ball. Keeper's not even trying, goes top bins. And the goal stands. The referee had the whistle in his mouth. The goal stands. On top of that, a couple minutes later, Rafinha gives his best impression of prime John Jones and absolutely takes out one of the Mallorca players. Not a red card. I don't even think he got checked for VAR.
That's crazy.
So this just added fuel to the fire of anybody saying that Barcelona rigged games. I don't want to go too deep into it because maybe it's not that serious. But the fact that Mallorca also got two red cards in that game, one of them may be unwarranted. I've seen Real Madrid fans on Twitter be a little bit mad.
I'm just picturing the clip now and using John Jones B-roll footage.
Yeah, that's really
that
good.
That's not what I was expecting.
Editing John Jones onto Rafinha's body.
No, that won't happen. But I think that was the biggest talking point of that game, in my opinion. I don't think it was a great game, especially in the second half after that. I think Hansi Flick also came out and said that he was disappointed with how they reacted after going up, after Mallorca went down two men.
At one point, I didn't think the ref was going to make it out alive. That stadium wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, Barca did not need the referee to win that game.
They didn't need the referee at all to win that game. They ended up steamrolling past them, and it was a fine performance.
Steamrolled them. Yamal,
how did you watch it?
I watched it here on the projector, actually. I was working out in that room there, and then I just, in between sets, I would walk over and kind of see
like
it.
On what?
What do you think, okay. Blake Talibas?
I'm just wondering. Like, I want to find another way.
Right.
I want to find another way.
I have a collection for you.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, they didn't need the refs at all, no.
And like, this Yamal stuff is just stupid now.
What's stupid about
it? He's honestly too good.
We're like, you know what? I feel like an uncle over here going like, you know what? He was partying all summer. He might not have the same mentality, the right mentality to really keep up performances. You know, he might get shocked opening day, scores a banger.
Like, it's just stupid. Like, it's stupid.
Here I am thinking I'm old and wise, 21 years old, a couple years older than him. Oh, you know what? This isn't good for his mentality and his confidence and his health as a young 18-year-old going to the...
It's so stupid.
Scores a banger.
Atletico Madrid did not have the same success.
Yes.
Let's stay on Barcelona real quick.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
There was a silence, and I was like, let me switch.
He's simply too good. Like, he could literally go up to the camera after scoring a goal and say, I am the best, and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
Seriously. There's a lot of talks about his arrogance and, you know, his new celebration, the crowning thing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's kind of aura, though.
It is. It's aura, dude. He's backing it up.
Do we think he's a Barcelona for lifer type of player?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he wants to write his history in Barcelona.
If it was any other club, maybe not, but
because it is,
it's freaking Barcelona.
Yeah.
That's right. where do you go after that?
Yeah.
Unless PSG dropped 250 mil on him in a couple of years, who knows? Yeah. Mm. Who knows? Apparently.
Well, I forgot to add also on the refereeing thing. You know what's crazy? You know how what's even more crazy is that the in Xabi Alonso's press conference, so a Real Madrid press conference, they asked him about that scandal.
That's so
isn't
funny.
That crazy?
Wow.
I like that. That's good journalism.
That's not good journalism.
Nah, that's good journalism. Dude. Because it's going to get reacted.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
They're just clip farming, bro.
Yeah.
Respect.
The journalists, they all clip farming.
Yeah.
Anyone else impress you in that game, Anso?
Pedri, obviously.
Of course.
That guy just impresses all around. Other than that,
how was the defense?
It was better than I thought. Well, obviously, it was
untested.
Because
yeah.
30 minutes into the game, they were down 9 men.
Are they not going to sign another center back?
I don't think so. And I'm excited to see how Araujo is going to work with Cubarsí in a high line. Because we saw how they worked together under Xavi. They were playing a little bit deeper, yeah. So Araujo wasn't, caught out as much. But now in this high line, I'm scared of how it's going to go.
Yeah. Is Araujo known for his pace at all?
He's known for not being very intelligent with how he lines up with the other defenders. And we know that Barca love to play that offside trap. It was a very, very big piece of their defensive successes last season.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like this season.
Yeah, I'm really curious about how that's going to look. I also wish we got to see Real Madrid this week.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend. We'll see them tomorrow. Wait until tomorrow to see them.
And then we'll report on
it. And we're a week behind when they kind of it's not optimal.
Fine. We'll talk about their next week's game in next pod because it'll probably be in the
weekend.
They play
at the weekend again.
Okay.
I freaking hope so.
Yeah.
You also see Barca's playing in Miami.
Yeah,
in December?
Game's a little bit gone.
You know what it is too? Like it's against Villarreal. It's a Villarreal home game, but in Miami.
Oh, it's pretty.
You think it's going to be a Villarreal home game? Are you kidding me right now?
It's kind of brutal.
The fact that La Liga made them do that, but also take it as a home game, kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal. But
yeah.
Anyway,
gives a little bit of credence to the establishment is going for Barcelona. So.
Yeah. True.
Maybe there's something there.
Atletico.
Atletico. Yeah. What happened there?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what happened there was a Simeone disaster class.
I feel bad for my boys.
The second half, in my opinion. Your boys?
Yeah. That's my team in La Liga.
That is your team in La Liga. Yeah. I think it might be my team in La Liga this year, too.
Right?
Atleti?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, explain to me what happened.
Yeah,
I know they were leading and then they just fell apart.
Really quick on Simeone. This might sound a little crazy. I'm of the opinion that Simeone has one of the easiest jobs in football. And that's because look at the expectations for Atletico Madrid coming into the season. What are they? What are the expectations for Atletico Madrid coming into every season? To make Champions
League. Yeah, try and win the league, but just make top
three. Exactly. There's no real expectations for Atletico Madrid because the delta between them and Barcelona and Real Madrid is just massive, right?
The delta, I like that.
That was sexy. Yeah, I like that too.
You know what that was? An F1 term.
Yeah, that's an F1 term.
DRS activated, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
DRS?
DRS?
DRS.
Yes.
DRS.
Okay.
Yes. But the gap between them, Barcelona and Real Madrid, it's too big for them to truly, concretely believe that they can win the league.
Yeah.
And then the gap between them and the other teams in La Liga is also big enough for them to make Champions League. Hmm. So all he really has to do, season in, season out, is qualify for Champions League, and his job is safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. From what I saw yesterday, I'm close to saying his job's in danger. Taking out his two most creative players after being only 1-0 up, Baena and Thiago Almada, that is borderline unforgivable. These were the two players that were connecting the game throughout the entirety of the first half.
Yeah.
And you take them out being only up 1-0, trying to play your Simeone haram ball in the second half. In the first half, I will say they played very good football, and it was different from what we usually saw from Simeone. Mm. But apart from making a semi-deep Champions League run, you were the best paid coach in the world, and your expectations are only to qualify for Champions League. I think we have to look into this a little bit deeper and truly try to gauge how in danger his job can be after these subpar performances.
Mm-hmm.
The Julian Alvarez goal, absolutely insane. The free kick.
Like what they did with the camera there.
Like what they did with the camera as well. I thought Atletico Madrid played a great first half in the game. I think they won't have any troubles this season in making Champions League and maybe getting a quarterfinal run in this season's Champions League.
Mm.
But you have to kind of put that into question. Like he sold the game yesterday.
Mm. Yeah,
he lost the game for himself yesterday.
Fair.
Damn. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't be watching Atletico week to week because it's not the most entertaining product, if I have to admit. But, I mean, like, you don't even think of Simeone getting sacked because it's almost like an unimaginable
scenario. Like entities tied together.
Exactly. I don't want to ignore everything that he's done for this club because he's single-handedly brought them to this point.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, the reason there's a gap between Atletico and the other teams below them now is because he's done what he's done.
Yeah.
And he deserves being the best-paid coach in the world. But now I think the expectations need to change a little bit. They're spending that big money in the transfer window. They're teetering with the Barcas and the Real Madrid in terms of the actual games that they play against them. I don't know. I feel like we need to look into it a little more.
That's fair.
Mm. Yeah, fair.
Very fair.
Okay. Other things around Europe really quickly before we go into FPL Roundup and then the end of the show. Forest, like we mentioned, we like their transfer business so far. They got the win against, I believe, Brentford in their opening 3-1. Game as well. Mm. Benfica Chris also Wood, won man. In their opening game in Liga Portugal. Wasn't the most convincing performance.
It. So we're one.
I also
we're
did not watch one. It. Over and one? I'll, okay. And I'll sit here and put my hands up. Yep. I did not watch it, but I looked back and it was a very disappointing performance. Just a path with his penalty to win the game.
Oh,
it was
rough.
It was pretty rough. It was against I believe Aruca as well. It's a pretty poor team in Portugal. They don't even have, you look them up on Google, they don't even have their badge.
Oof, that's bad. That's
like
bad.
Some of Portugal is like English League One level. Like that's what we're talking.
Well, wow. That's concerning.
What's up?
For Jock.
Yeah. Around Europe as well, Inter Miami won. Messi scored once again.
And the PR went crazy. Yeah.
The PR did in fact go crazy. Bayern won in the Super Cup final.
Another France trophy. Beckenbauer Super Cup, they're calling it now.
Good for him.
Respect.
He probably deserves that.
Respect.
Yeah.
He's one of the Germans
that doesn't have like controversy around him.
Another trophy for Harry Kane. Speaking of Germany, I saw a little debate on who's going to have like a better legacy when all things are said and done in football. Thomas Müller or Neymar?
I saw that too.
It's Neymar.
I think the individual quality of Neymar just puts him above most players. I mean, just on the basis
the average
of
football
it.
Fan doesn't look at Thomas Müller and be amazed. Yeah. I think they should.
Yeah. Whose career would you rather have?
Thomas Müller.
Müller, yeah. Oh, actually, I don't know.
Easily. I don't know either.
Well, the only thing, trophy-wise.
Guys, a World Cup, two Champions
that's
League,
it.
Multiple
but that's,
crazy
that's
seasons.
That's it, though. That's the only thing he has over Neymar is the World
it's
Cup.
It's the sheer amount of trophies.
Yes, but it's also the length that he
and the, he and did the long, yeah.
I think he's one of the most underrated players ever, in
absolutely.
My opinion.
Thomas Müller?
Genuinely.
Yeah.
Like, let's not diminish
Lewandowski.
Anything Müller did.
Hmm? Shout out Robert Lewandowski.
Oh, yeah.
That guy shout too. Out Tom Müller.
And that will just about do it for our European round. Oh, you'll appreciate this. Marseille lost. Marseille lost as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, we cannot.
Thank you.
We cannot forget.
Such Marseille clowns.
No,
it's the history of Marseille. You know that?
Oh, is it?
It's the history of Marseille.
No, we have to do one thing though. Please tell me who wasn't playing in the starting 11 for PSG this.
Who wasn't playing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll tell you the starting lineup right now.
And then tell me it's not a.
So we had Lucas Chevalier in goal.
Okay.
First clean sheet for the team. Didn't really have to do anything. I don't think he even pulled out a single save. So Lucas Chevalier in goal. Then you had Warren Zaïre-Emery at right back. You had Zabarni Beraldo. Lucas Hernandez, who is way past it, by the way. If that guy plays any minutes in the Champions League this season, we are absolutely cooked.
They actually played a cup team, bro. Like.
And then in the midfield, we had Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz, and... Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz?
I know who
and
was.
And Mbaye.
No, Mbaye was the right
wing. You want me to tell you
okay. Yeah.
It was Kang and Lee.
It was Kang and Lee. There you go. There it is. It was Kang and Lee.
Brother. Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz, Kang and Lee, and then you had Ibrahim Mbaye at the right wing, who I thought was very good.
Mm. Big season for him.
He could have a little step up in his career this season. Okay. He played good against Tottenham. He was electric when he came on, and then played decent against Nantes yesterday. And then Barcola on the left and Gonzalo Ramos and up top.
So what I'm hearing is the at least the two favorites for the Ballon d'Or up there did not play.
Who's the two favorites? Hakimi, yeah?
Yeah, and Dembele. Kvaratskhelia didn't play?
Yeah, no, he didn't play. Yeah.
Arguably the best left back in the world, some say,
didn't play. Not arguably. He is
the two center backs.
Yeah, no, didn't play.
Yeah.
Didn't play. Yeah.
And this is the first game of their season.
Yeah, preseason though. So this is the thing with PSG. I'm not really judging them and their quality up until beginning of September.
Okay.
I think, or maybe mid-September.
Okay.
Because they didn't have a preseason, lads. Let's just the level will be gauged mid-September.
Okay. Okay.
Hmm.
These few Ligue 1 games, they can rotate.
Okay.
Actually, we have Marseille in end of August or beginning of September. So I think they'll play the main team there.
I hope so.
But sorry, real quick, back on Marseille, I have to clown. Yeah, I was Blake switched the subject to PSG. I don't want to drag this on too long, but how embarrassing is it to play against a team that go down 10 men 30 minutes into the game? You're up You're up a man for a whole hour. And then you concede in the 91st minute and you lose 1-0.
That's quite peak.
That is quite peak. And the best part of it, too, is that Rennes coach, Habib Bey, was Marseille's captain a couple years back in his playing days. Mm. And when Rennes scored that goal against Marseille, he celebrated like a madman.
I love that.
He went crazy.
I love that.
It's just, I just love clowning that team, man. It's just so fun.
I feel you. Yeah. I know the vibes.
Yeah.
What time is it, Anto?
What time is it right now?
No. What time is it?
It's FPL Roundup time.
It's FPL Roundup time.
And FPL name reveal time.
Yeah.
Name reveal time as well, yeah.
So first up, we have Miles with
pending
change name.
Is it change name? Yeah, so Miles broke the community guidelines with his name.
And he said it's a fake team.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's game.
So let's start at fourth place. That's why we mentioned Miles. Fourth place with 46 points is what was originally a name I don't know if I can repeat, but it involved
a
certain Russian president.
Yeah.
So it's under review right now. He might get banned, but he ended the week on 46 points, but not before we on the group chat after the deadline for game week one, by the way. Yeah. So we couldn't make any like changes to our teams at this point. Anto goes in the chat, lads, send in your teams. Like, let's see what everyone's like working with. This slimy guy.
Yeah.
Sends a fake team.
Yeah, it's actually crazy.
A fake team.
You know how crazy that is?
Fake team. No Salah. No Haaland. We're like, Miles. Like,
Gyökeres captain.
What are you doing here? Yeah, Gyökeres captain. We're like, oh, big year for Miles again. But I also noticed like the Liverpool kid is like generic. It's not, doesn't have like the new design. Like this looks a little bit, looks like it was taken a couple months back. Mm-hmm. Like it's a little bit odd that he decided his team like a couple months back.
Right.
Game week ends. We check Miles' team. It's completely different.
Yeah. Yep.
This greasy guy is sending fake teams to the group chat.
I don't know what his deal was.
Yeah, what is his deal? What is his problem?
I think like the league is looking into him.
Yeah, I think
because this is
like we talk about FFP and all the scandals that teams can go through. This kind of is on the same level.
Yeah, it seems like
it's trying to put your opponent off in illegal ways.
Yeah.
You know,
and unethical.
Because when I saw that team, I thought to myself, did I make a problem? Should I have put Gyökeres in that team?
Yeah.
Should I have ignored Salah? Should I have ignored Haaland?
Yeah. That's putting down your mind.
You should not have.
I mean, you then go like it's Miles, probably not. But like you are having a little bit of like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah,
I like
it. It is very snaky.
Or you know what it actually was? It was like, oh, that's a bad team. Let's laugh off Miles.
Right.
And then game week one ends and you're like, oh my God, this is like the best team ever.
He tried to gain aura on that, but I think he just lost it.
Yeah, but he came last anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
his actual team was Robert Sanchez in net with 7 points. Okay. Big up. Mickey Van de Ven for a clean sheet as well. He also had Virgil van Dijk and Nico Williams both blanking. He had Mo Salah for 8 points. Cole Palmer for 3 points. Kudus with 10. Virts with 2. And Illiman and Ndiaye still to play. So this is still like tentative points today. He had João Pedro for 2 points. And Jared Bowen, captain.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
For 2 points.
That's just crazy.
Jared Bowen, captain. Wow.
Not only is an independent league commission looking into these infringements right now, and we're going to have an announcement for that come next week. We'll decide on what the verdict
is.
But I think either way, he has embarrassed himself here, so he may be a little bit leaner on the punishment for it. He forgot to captain Salah, and I think that's punishment enough, if I do say so myself. change name currently is last place right now in the FPL league. Moving on to third. Puffing on Zuby.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Mr. Blake Talibis, 52 points, narrowly behind second. And it's a good week from you.
It's not terrible.
It's standard.
It's not terrible.
It's standard.
Look, they hired me back this year.
Yeah.
Under a new team.
And it was a really controversial
Let's just put context into this. Last season, sacked by February. Stopped playing the game in February.
Yeah, the interim came in and he didn't even try.
He didn't even try.
I guess we'll just take the old guy back.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Look, I have a new life to me. I have a new mindset. I've been looking on TikTok for some extra help from the assistant coaches.
Oh.
So, like, I'm here. And you know what? I changed my team.
You
like
took a coaching course.
I did. I 6 or 7 times I've changed my team. I heard some – I know. I like to talk with my – why are we laughing?
How many times did you change your team?
I know we like to talk all together as, you know, as – friendly managers that we are.
Right.
And you gave me some advice. Absolutely. And you told me to take out some players. And I usually I would have just listened to you, but yeah. I wanted to put my own input on it. And
it worked.
And it worked. And it worked. So far. So I'm happy with the start.
That's good. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
The team is Matt Sells in net for 2 points.
Which should have been a clean sheet.
Sorry. Gabriel clean sheet. Pedro Porro clean sheet. And then Virgil van Dijk blank. And then Ezri Konsa. Red card.
Red card, but yeah. Still got 3 points.
But still though. Got 3 points. Yeah. Fair enough. He'll miss next week, but that's it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an immediate sell.
Yeah.
Cole Palmer for 3 points. Reinders with 10. Good move. Mo Salah, captain, with 16 points, and Illiman and Ndiaye still to play with a front two of João Pedro and Mateta.
You guys all have Ndiaye to play now.
Yeah, we do.
Shit.
We do. Hey.
I know. Hat trick in your...
Illiman and Ndiaye hat trick
and
today.
And I'm cooked.
And
last.
You're bottom of the league.
Yeah.
You also had Elliot Anderson on the bench for 6 points.
I know that was. I like
that's a good. That's a good pick, though.
You like that?
That's a good pick.
Good for defensive contributions.
Yep.
Yes.
I know you know that.
I did.
Oh, he's back.
I did. I still don't know how they work, but I knew that it was a thing.
Yeah. So he's back.
Yeah.
He is back.
I'm back.
Like you happy with the week?
No, because I expect more from myself, and I want more in this new season.
Well, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
Let's not make any rash decisions.
I had the same thing as FPL Raptor. So, like, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
I think more, actually. What do I have? No,
52.
Okay, so we tied.
Does he have? No, his week is done as well. Okay. Second place. Who would guess? It's our normal order. It's Dam Danso. Julian Betancourt in second place right now, holding it down. A very average week from us. I think this is the order that nobody would have expected.
Just real quick.
Go on.
We see all this talk about Arsenal perennial second placers, bottle jobs, bottlers. At what point do we sneak in the Dam Danso manager as just being a perennial second placer?
That's a great point.
Because I think there's a lot to be gained from the bottom two managers.
Absolutely.
You could see them go up. But is this the peak for
Dam
Danso?
Is this the peak? Like, how many more real years can this manager give you?
It's interesting.
You know what it was? The Dam Danso manager, he went on a retreat and he's trying to rethink his fantasy philosophy. And you could almost say, in Ruben Amorim style, it is a project and we're going to hurt a little bit before eventually we take strides and we're going
crazy.
Above
okay.
second place. And specifically in the Club World Cup fantasy, he really tried to take that philosophy and he really tried to apply what he had learned. And you know what? We suffered for it. We came fourth. I'm still looking for that Sundowns kit. I'm trying not to spend R1,000, but that new philosophy, hopefully, since we suffered, we're still learning, and that new philosophy is going to take us up and above our rival.
Okay.
The Pep Guardiola of the fantasy league here. But anyways, going on to the team, he had Robert Sanchez in net for 7 points, Pedro Porro with a clean sheet as well, Nico Williams, and Diouf almost got a goal. That would have been nice. Yeah. That would have been beautiful, but they both blanked for 1 point. Kudus 10. Great pick.
And not off the post, sorry. That was Dorgu. Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Cole Palmer with 3. Mo Salah, captain, with 16. And Ndiaye still to play. And Reinders with 10 points. Bowen and Watkins both for 2 points each. Disappointing performances from the two. Konsa on his bench with a red card. He won't play next week either. First place is Frim
Ping surprised?
Pong.
I don't know if I love the name.
Yeah,
Antoine.
It was a last minute thing. I was uninspired.
I don't hate it.
Like I'm disappointed in my because usually.
I think it was Frim Pong Pong for a while.
No, it's Frim Ping Pong.
You know. Okay, so maybe I read it wrong. But
you know ping pong?
But now Frim Ping Pong, I get it. It's actually better now that I've heard it.
Thank you. And when you say it, just rolls off the
Frim Ping Pong.
Frim Ping Pong.
Frim Ping Pong.
Frim Ping Pong team with 65.7 ahead
two
of
away from greatness.
Second place. Also 4 away from greatness. Fucking children, bro. Fucking children. Sanchez in net with 7 points with a clean sheet. Nico
Sanchez,
Williams and Diouf blanking as well. But he had 8 Nuri.
Right, Nuri, 9 points. Hello. How you doing?
So it was 9 points with a clean sheet and a bonus point and defensive contributions.
And defensive contributions.
Good jobs. I'm noticing that it was Rico Lewis bombing forward while he kind of dropped back a little
bit.
It's
okay.
I think it is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also didn't talk about Oscar Bob, who I thought looked really good.
Oh, I forgot to talk about Oscar Bob. Yeah,
it's fine. It's fine. I'm sure there will be opportunities. Yeah, to there talk will about be this season. Hope not. Mo Salah captain with 16 points. Cole Palmer with 3. Reiners with 10. Bruno Fernandes with 2.
He might be out
Star with 3. Yeah, Bruno. I don't know if I like the pick because playing.
I was thinking 8, defensive contributions, but
you were drinking that juice. I was drinking you, that but juice. I wasn't falling for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ekitike is Hello. The pick of the week.
Pick of the week. Thank you.
With 11 points.
True believers.
Great differential for
Chuba
you.
Libas. Only knew that. Chubalibas.
Chubalibas?
Believers?
Baleba.
True believers only knew that Ekitike would ball out.
Worst pick of the week, I think for a couple of us here, was João Pedro with 2 points.
Yeah. You get the good and you get the bad, but you're still first.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Good week.
Good week from you.
We're going back to back to back. A little three-peat. Never been done before.
I hope not. And that will do week one of year three of the FPL Roundup.
And that'll do the pod as well.
And that'll do with the pod as well. I've really enjoyed this, lads. I have missed this podcast. You enjoyed?
We kind of are a Prem podcast, which is kind of sad, but
no, we gave a little European roundup as well.
Yeah.
And Prem is box office. That's what it's
and
about.
And it's like it's where we thrive.
It's the bread and butter.
It's where we thrive.
Where we thrive.
Anyways. An hour 40 later, lads, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the 6 Year Box podcast. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all the YouTube things. Hit that little notification bell so you never miss an episode of this shit talk. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know who are you most impressed by this week. It could be a team in the Prem. It could be a team all around Europe. Just which team exceeded expectations the most for you?
Sunderland.
With that being said, you know they accrued less XG this weekend than Burnley did against Tottenham?
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Quite interesting.
Marseille could be up there too, actually.
Marseille could be up there. I'm kidding. For biggest disappointment. Anyways, this has been Julian, Blake, and Antoine. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you all next week. Goodbye.
We out.
Yeah.